Judges chapter 11, verses 29 to 31. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he advanced toward the people of Ammon. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, and said, If you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me, then when I return in peace from the people of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. And the context, of course, is that Jephthah is leading an army of Israel against an invading force on behalf of the people of Ammon. Peaceful means have been employed to try and persuade them to clear off, but they have declined, and therefore now an armed force is going to force their hand. And the passage begins by saying that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. And that empowered him to lead an army, especially an army of people who hitherto have been rejecting him. I think the Spirit of the Lord is giving him strength and wisdom and courage. And he makes this long journey. And we're told in verse 29, he advanced toward the people of Ammon. So I imagine here that he is leading an Israelite force and he is approaching a stronger pagan Ammonite force. And I think the Ammonites are not just pillaging the land, I think they're stealing it. I think there are people behind their army who intend to colonize it and make it their own. Having approached the people or the army of Ammon, Jephthah then does something which is quite unusual. He makes a vow to the Lord, a promise. Some would call it a deal. It's not clear here what his motives are. Are the motives good or are the motives bad? Well, why might the motives be good? He knows that he cannot achieve the victory himself. If this victory over the Ammonite host is to be achieved, it will be through God. And he is acknowledging that he needs the Lord's strength. And this vow is his way of communicating that to the Lord. It might be out of a sense of gratitude. He knows that the Lord is going to help him. And therefore he wants to find some way which he himself can show gratitude and thanksgiving to God. How many of us, if we are honest, have been delivered by the Lord, but we weren't so speedy to thank him afterwards as we were to request it before we had it? In the day of trouble, I will deliver you and you will honour me, says Psalm 50 and verse 15. We are to honour God and thank him and praise him for those times when he delivers and rescues us. And maybe here, Jephthah, if his motives are good, is kind of formalising the fact that God is going to help him and he is going to praise God in return. On the other hand, some commentators question the motive of this vow. Is it really an attempt to do a deal? It's interesting that he makes the vow having advanced towards the people of Ammon. Now Jephthah is quite a tough character. But when he sees that huge army before him, and he sees perhaps his own weakness, and maybe the weakness of the people he's leading, it might be that he feels that he just needs to persuade the Lord a little more to make sure he gets that help. I think the Lord would have given him victory even without making the vow, especially if the motive was, Lord, you do this for me and I'll do something good for you. Vows, of course, were acceptable. There was the Nazarite vow. I think Numbers 30 even regulates how vows should be made and how they should be honoured. And yet this appears to be a especially when we read from verse 34, which I know we haven't done that yet, and if you haven't read ahead, perhaps I won't spoil it for you. But this vow is actually the cause of some pain and tragedy, acute pain and terrible tragedy. It might have been better if either it hadn't been made, or he might have been wiser in his choice of wording. Some have pointed out that perhaps when he made this vow, the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. We mustn't assume, though, that because the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him, that the Spirit of the Lord is responsible for everything he does. Jephthah was not a zombie, which had none of his own personality, and that suddenly left when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In the same way, every Christian has the Holy Spirit of God, not just coming upon them, but living within them. And we, of course, must not assume that every time a thought enters our head, that's the Holy Spirit telling us to do things. I have met people like that. And quite frankly, they have attributed some very foolish notions to the all-wise God. What does Jephthah actually say? He made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands," that might suggest that there is a bit of doubt there. And again, he has my sympathy. It's very easy to criticise this man, but he is faced with a gigantic, I think, opposing army. And we all know in this room that the Lord delivers his people and the Lord gives us strength to get us through the day as well as the difficulties. And yet, how many of us still quake when those difficulties present their ugly heads in our lives? We are not unlike Jephthah. "If you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the people of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering." What was he thinking of? What did he think would leave his house and come and greet him? His dog? A ram? A cow? And farmers back then possibly did share their houses with animals like that. Perhaps it was foolishly worded. And yet there's something quite winsome, I think, about his motives. He does want to honour God, not just as a great general and commander on the battlefield, but as a simple householder, as a father, as an ordinary man. And we've got to be careful that our worship is not just confined to public assemblies like this one, no matter how small, or even on a Sunday morning, no matter how large. We ought to worship and honour God in our homes. Our primary place of worship ought to be the place where we spend most of our time. That for me is a terraced house in Barnoldswick. I spend more time there than here. I ought to spend more of my time worshipping there than here. And it might be that Jephthah is acknowledging that. He is the mighty general on the battlefield, and yet he wants to honour God from his own home. And he's offering something. Some have suggested that he was simply dedicating this item to God. And yet burnt offering does rather suggest a literal sacrifice. He knows that this object, whatever he has in mind, he is going to lose it, in the sense that God is going to gain it. So it might be that his motives are a little bit of last-minute nerves. And if we ever feel nervous or troubled My advice is, don't try and do a deal with the Lord. He doesn't need anything you have. He owns the cattle on the thousand hills. There's nothing you have which he doesn't, which he needs. The Lord, the God of the Bible, helps his people freely. On the other hand, it's okay to be nervous and scared before some big trial or difficulty. I think Jephthah was. And in a sense, I think his motives are right, even though the outcome in the next few verses are going to be tragic. It's also worth remembering, perhaps, that the Lord Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Making a vow or an oath, although regulated by the Old Testament, I think the Christian in the New Testament should simply tell the truth all the time and give to God everything he has anyway. Nevertheless, what can we learn here from Jephthah? And I appreciate I haven't gone into the consequences of what he promised. He feels nervous before an adversary. And that's natural and it's normal. But the Lord who called him out of the land of Tob will provide for all his needs, will supply all the strength and will still supply the victory. Don't try and bribe the Lord with what you have. If you belong to the Lord, what you have is already his. Remember that. You have the Holy Spirit of God. But don't assume that everything that comes into your head, everything you say, everything you do, is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We mustn't confuse our thoughts with God's thoughts. That is why it's so important we read God's word. Because this will challenge my thinking. It will challenge my thoughts. It will inform my opinions. Whereas it's very hard for me to differentiate an idea popping in my head, which has come from my own heart, which is deceitful above all things. And I remember probably 10 years ago, feeling the call to pastor at Martin Top Chapel. And before I accepted, I had to think very carefully. Was it my pride? Was it my pride which was drawing me here? Or was it the Spirit of God? I opted for the latter. You can judge for yourselves. Jephthah is a good man, a holy man. But I think in the passage we've read tonight, he wasn't as wise as he could have been, nor as wise as he should have been. Like Solomon, let's seek God's wisdom. Amen.